We are living in difficult times. The United States is moving towards becoming a fascist state, with the public service, universities, the media, and the judiciary coming under huge pressure to conform to the far-right, anti-liberal agenda of Donald Trump and his acolytes. Copycat versions of Trump are on the rise in most European democracies. The armies of the warmongers Vladimir Putin and Benjamin Netanyahu are murdering innocent civilians in vicious and genocidal wars in Ukraine and Gaza. The greatest challenge of our times, the threat of climate change and global warming to our planet, is fast slipping off the agenda. I am a classic late 20th century left of center liberal European. I believe in a strong social democratic state as a corrective to the uncontrolled excesses of international capitalism. I believe in the crucial role of trade unions in fighting for just wages and decent conditions for workers and employees in the face of that powerful capitalism. I believe in the welfare state as a vital means of ensuring that the health, education, and well-being of the most vulnerable people in society are cared for. I believe as a wealthy nation, we have a duty to allow in a reasonable number of people fleeing war, persecution, hunger, and poverty in less peaceful and poorer parts of the world. I believe in the European Union as a proven guarantor of peace and prosperity in Europe over the past 80 years. When it comes to morality and religion, I believe passionately in the words of our vision statement at the end of our hymn book, that love of our fellow human beings is the doctrine we should live by. The quest for truth and service to others are our sacraments, that we should learn to dwell together in peace and seek knowledge in freedom, quote, to the end that all souls shall grow in harmony with the divine, whatever that divine is. Whether if even she or he exists. As a political liberal and a rational, open-minded Unitarian, I find what is happening in the world today, frankly, terrifying. And as I contemplate the state of our world at my relatively advanced age, I find that I'm thinking more and more about religion, about Christianity in its broad sense, and about Unitarianism as the brand of liberal Christianity I feel most at home with, and what these faiths have to say to our contemporary predicament. The novelist Kevin Power wrote in last weekend's Irish Times about Nietzsche's statement 140 years ago that, quote, belief in the Christian God has become unbelievable, close quotes, or more pithily, quote, God is dead. Power asks, quote, without God, whither meaning, whither consolation and community, whither the significance of the transient individual life? In the third decade of the 21st century, the age of climate change and of the bitter end of the neoliberal experiment, this crisis feels freshly acute. Our sense of the future has collapsed. At such moments, secularism's failure to supply people's lives with positive meaning becomes painfully visible. It is not surprising that at a time like this, people should turn to older sources of meaning. He quotes the celebrated writer on religion, Karen Armstrong, in her book, A History of God, pointing out that it is not secularism, but religious faith that is natural to human beings. She writes, quote, men and women started to worship gods as soon as they became recognizably human. She points out that, quote, our current secularism is an entirely new experiment, unprecedented in human history. She adds dryly, we have yet to see how it will work. Which brings me to St. Patrick and the hymn writer from Ohio. I first got the idea for this address from two hymns we sang around a month ago, and again just now. The first, Be Thou My Vision, is often thought of as St. Patrick's hymn, or at least one that is inspired by his teaching. It is one of my favorite hymns and one I want sung at my funeral. Patrick's teaching is in total contradiction to everything that most modern people believe. That God is the absolute power in the world. Quote, I ever with thee and thou with me, God, thou my soul's shelter, thou my high tower, raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power. And the final lines, thou and thou only, first in my heart, sovereign of heaven, my treasure thou art. The story of St. Patrick is well known, although the sources of it are scanty. How he was raised in a prosperous Roman family in Britain, was seized as a very young man by Irish raiders, and spent 8 years as a slave, tending sheep and doing other slavish work, probably somewhere on the west coast, perhaps in Mayo. How during this hard and lonely time, he came to believe in the Christian God, saying 100 prayers every morning and 100 at night, so that the Irish took to calling him Holy Boy. How he made a difficult and dangerous escape and arrived back with his family in Britain, transformed from a spoiled teenager into a man who had been through a profound psychological and spiritual transformation. And how he had two dreams in which voices urged him to return to Ireland, then considered, in his own words, the very edge of the inhabited world to convert the pagan Irish to Christianity. Most of what we know about Patrick comes from two letters. One, an angry missive to a group of Roman soldiers who had murdered and kidnapped some of his newly baptized converts. And the second, near the end of his life, entitled Confession, which explains clearly and precisely his total subjection to God's will. Quote, whatever happens to me, good or evil, I must accept it and give thanks to God. He has taught me to trust in him without any limits. God heard my prayers so that I, foolish though I am, might dare to undertake such a holy and wonderful mission in these last days, that I, in my own way, might be like those God said would come to preach and be witness to the good news to all non-believers before the end of the world. Because the 5th century, with the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, was also a time of turmoil and widespread belief that the world would soon end with the second coming of Christ. Patrick went on, quote, every day I keep expecting to be murdered, assaulted, sold back into slavery, or some such thing. But I'm not afraid because I know heaven waits for me. I throw myself on the mercy of God, who is in charge of everything. As the prophet says, turn your thoughts to God and he will take care of you. He doesn't mind if his, quote, body is torn apart piece by piece by dogs or wild animals, or that I serve as a meal for the birds of the air. I know that if that were to happen, I would gain my soul along with a new body. On that day, we will undoubtedly rise again like the sun in the morning, like the sun, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Patrick is a heroic figure, prepared as hundreds of martyrs before and after him to die for his Christian faith. But his magnificent muscular Christianity and his huge, unshakable confidence in a life after death in God and Christ's presence sounds strange and outdated to many modern ears, including mine, although part of me wishes I had a bit of it. Which is why I turn to my second hymn, number 86, Blessed Spirit of My Life, which is by a Unitarian hymn writer and director of church music from Cincinnati, Ohio, Shelley Jackson Denham, who died in 2013. She wrote 5 hymns that are in our Singing the Living Tradition hymn book. This is a classic late 20th century Unitarian hymn whose sentiments strike an answering chord in me, as I'm sure they will in many people in this church. Quote, Blessed Spirit of my life, give me strength through stress and strife. Help me live with dignity. Let me know serenity. Fill me with a vision. Clear my mind of fear and confusion. When my thoughts flow restlessly, let peace find a home in me. The second verse ends, help me live my wordless creed as I comfort those in need. Fill me with compassion, be the source of my intuition. Then when life is done for me, let love be my legacy. The nearest this hymn comes to mentioning God is Spirit of Great Mystery. And to heaven, when life is done for me, let love be my legacy. A mainstream Christian critic might say the vision in this hymn is vague and self-serving. The Christian God sounds like a pantheistic American Indian deity, and heaven is merely the comfort family members and friends left behind after a person's death will feel having been close to a good and loving person. While recognizing those criticisms, for better or worse, I am far more in tune with Shelley Jackson Denham's vague spiritualism than I am with St. Patrick's absolute belief in God. Whether my vague Unitarian beliefs are enough to fortify me through war and suffering and illness and death, as his Christian beliefs did triumphantly for him, is another matter. When I first went up to Armagh to work in 1999, I was asked to address sixth formers in a local Catholic grammar school. They knew of my previous existence as a religious affairs correspondent of the Irish Times, about my Unitarian beliefs, to address them about my Unitarian beliefs. At the end, a girl whose mother had just died asked if Unitarianism would be helpful to somebody in her sorrowful position. I have to say, I had no answer for her. Similarly, when I was at the bedside of my 97-year-old aunt, who I was particularly close to, again in Armagh, I was conscious that her very strong Christianity and certainty that she was going to a better place made her very calm and accepting as the end approached. I have a vivid memory of helping her drink a cup of tea and her humorously upbraiding me for holding the cup the wrong way 4 hours before she died. Would I have had that calm spirit of acceptance? I doubt it. I'm certain I'm not made in the mold of a muscular 55th century Christian saint. I'm a modern man, full of searching and self-questioning and self-doubt. To take a simple example, the biographical note about Shelley Jackson Denham on the internet says she died in August 2013, 3 months after her husband died, quote, very suddenly. I don't know how I would cope if my beloved wife died very suddenly, as Shelley Jackson Denham's husband did. I wonder if her Unitarian faith gave her the same strength and consolation during that sad and lonely 3 months that my Aunt Maud had in Armagh as she approached death. There is another hymn by Shelley Jackson Denham in our hymn book, which I rather like, number 194, Faith is a Forest. I came across this reading by her on the internet, which echoes the sentiments in this hymn. Quote, faith is a forest in which doubts play and hide. Here may we welcome the experience of walking with our doubts in an interplay of shadow and light. We enter that forest and listen for the still, small voice deep inside. Here may we welcome those quiet moments of reflection, trusting what wisdom we find. Here, walking in that forest together, we interweave threads of doubt and belief, wonder and inquiry, that we may lace our lives with compassion, strengthen our commitment, and find the courage to bear witness to matters of worth. Here we gather collective guidance, that we may go out into each tender day, allowing our beliefs and our doubts to speak through us in all we do and say. This walk in the forest is very comforting and pantheistic and Unitarian. It's like the poem from that wonderful American poet, Mary Oliver, The Summer Day, which is sometimes cited as Americans' favorite poem. This ends, quote, I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? But is this poetry and pantheism enough when life turns hard, when death awaits? I simply don't know. Amen.